Well, tonight marks the end of the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, and I can say for me, not a minute too soon. I have never heard so much nonsensical lies and misstatements in my life.
I'm going to share with you a very simple story, which is that I went home one day and I said, well, why are conservatives bad, Mommy? Because I thought we were supposed to conserve things. I couldn't reconcile it. Now I can.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about the Democrat National Convention in Chicago. I'm sure that many of you have had plenty of time to watch on Fox News, Newsmax, and other sources. You've seen what's going on. Many are believing some of the lies that have come out. I know when it comes to politics. I understand it. You try to make the truth look a little bit better than it really is. But this entire orchestrated, nonsensical convention designed just to get a little bit of a bump and a boost to go into the actual roughly less than 3 months of real campaigning, it's a circus and a sideshow. Especially this one, it's more like a freak show than it is even a political convention. I just need to make you understand that everything that has been put out there on the stage has been carefully pre-planned, pre-programmed, decided well in advance. Everybody must cooperate and never deviate from the script. On Monday night, when Joe Biden spoke, and he had all these wonderful and glowing terms for Kamala Harris, his vice president. Yet the truth of the matter is there has been a tremendous amount of division and angst between the two for many years. The two staffs do not get along. Kamala Harris was put in charge of things she failed to do. She has gone through and burnt through 97% of her staff in a matter of not even 3 years. She's a very problematic individual. And they start talking in glowing terms how they're such good friends. They're not friends at all. Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, the Clintons, and everybody else behind the scenes, they essentially kicked the old man to the curb. Then they pretended that they loved him and wanted to thank him and wanted to make him feel so good about his wonderful service to America. They threw him out because they knew that he was useless to America and there was not a chance he could win the election in the fall. Everything, and I said it on a program months ago, you're experiencing and watching in real time the controlled demolition of Joe Biden. And it started. It started at the debate on the 27th of June for the first time most Americans saw it. Prior to that, your mainstream media was delighted in withholding the truth and literally lying to you. How many times did you hear a reporter at one of the prestigious phony fake news networks like CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS? These networks are not news agencies. They are propaganda outlets. There are no journalists left in any of those organizations. They pretend they're actors. They're talking heads. And some of those heads are very empty. They were telling you all year long, everything about Joe Biden that you hear on conservative media is fake and phony and false. Joe Biden, according to Joe Scarborough, he's the best Biden ever. I've known Biden for years. This is the best Biden ever. If this is the best Biden ever, I hate to see what the worst Biden was. But they willfully lie to you and I, covering up the fact that he has physical and or mental issues going on, most likely related to age or who knows what. It doesn't really matter. When I get to that point, if something like that was to happen to me, I'm going to step aside if I'm doing something important that making a mistake is going to be an issue. A man's got to know, and woman as well, your limits, what you can and can't do. You have to be a realist. But the media kept lying all the way through the year. Every one of his missteps shown by alternate media, and it turns out there was no edits. These were just real-time video of the entire episode. They were calling them deep fakes. They were just simply lying. But I think they knew last year that there was a good chance that his continual and measurable decline month by month, they could not make him get across the finish line in November. With each passing week starting toward the middle and latter part of 2023, a lot of media was noticing that there's a continual issue. Oh, they can get him pumped up for an hour or two, but that's about it. His schedule reveals he kind of gets to work around 10, takes a long lunch break, and then he comes back, and he's done before 4 on the days that he actually shows up to work. That doesn't bode well for this nation. And so they kept trying to prop him up. And I think somewhere along the way, probably in the spring, somebody said, we need to know how this is going to play out. And we need to introduce to the American people at some point that the man is just unable to run. And so they decided to look for an early debate in June. Unheard of. I mean, neither one of the conventions had been held. And so why would you have the presumptive nominees debating? It almost didn't make any sense. But this is what they wanted. And Trump played along. And I think they wanted to do one of two things. Of course, they wanted to put it in an environment. And I look back now, hindsight is always 20/20. There was a reason they wanted Dana Bash and Jake Trapper to moderate, and they wanted it at CNN, and they wanted it without an audience. They wanted the American people to see for themselves how bad their candidate was. And by putting them on CNN, nobody could say, well, you know, Fox News or Newsmax or some conservative media slanted the debate. That could never be said. By using CNN, the most trusted name in news or whatever, they could hide their true intent. And it is obvious to me, I remember watching it, and I'm looking at my wife after the first question, I'm going, oh boy, they want to dump Biden. Those are the first words out of my mouth. This is the beginning of getting him out publicly. I know they've been trying to plot this behind the scenes and even behind his back. And there it was, right out of the starting gate. First questions were making Biden look bad. And I'm going to go as far as to believe, because I understand how intellectually, morally bankrupt our media is, that Biden thought he had the questions in advance. He could never admit that he did or didn't. And I think all those days spent with all those people, that's all he did for 8 days was prepare for an hour and a half debate. If you're the president, you know you don't need 8 days to prep for a debate. You're living it every day of your life if you're really doing the job. And so he was prepped on the questions I think he assumed he was going to be asked, and then he was never asked most of those questions. You could see it in his face. You could see it in his shock. You could see it in his demeanor. You could see the expressions. And essentially, as many analysts would agree, Donald Trump basically mopped the floor with Biden. And suddenly, the American people saw a Biden in trouble, a Biden unable to perform. And thus, the beginning of the end of his political career, carefully orchestrated like Kabuki theater, every move choreographed to precision. At first, Biden didn't want to play ball. He's hanging in there, refusing to step aside, until Nancy Pelosi and others literally stabbed him in the back. I firmly believe that it came down to this, that he would be thoroughly embarrassed in the public eye with the 25th Amendment being invoked. And whether he survived it or not, he would not survive becoming president or winning. His career would be done, but in an embarrassing way. And I believe in order to get the vice president, Kamala Harris, to play ball, she demanded that she be then raised on that ticket, and there's not going to be an open primary. Forget it, Gretchen, you're not coming in. Forget it, Gavin. Forget it, Michelle. Forget it, anybody else that had this crazy idea, Prickster in Illinois. And you can just go down the list of all the wannabes that wanted to get in there. No, I'm going to do it. I will get rid of Biden. I will threaten. And they made him play ball. And I'm sure they know a lot of the dirty secrets about the Biden family. They're coming out all the time. And he was told, you play ball or we throw you to the wolves. And you may be looking at a trial by jury for some of the crimes you've committed. And so there we have the glowing speech on Monday night, just praising this woman that you know the Bidens cannot stand. I about laughed when I heard toward the end, you have my word as a Biden. Well, your word is not worth anything. Lie after debunked lie kept being respread in that speech like he thinks we've never heard that the things that he's saying we've been. Look, when Snopes and leftist groups say you're lying, you're lying. I mean, there's full agreement, but he didn't. It's like he didn't get the memo. And they, if you think about it, they pushed him later and later into the night, hoping that the speech would be shorter. It's kind of like we had this horrible deed to do on Monday. Let's get it over with. And then we can get back to our love fest of a freak show here in Chicago. And we can just exalt and praise and worship all the evil and demonic things of this world. I mean, one of the most important things that happened at that convention was mobile abortion and vasectomy clinics. It's like they want to stop reproduction. They want to end civilization. Only demonic forces would want to end life that way. And so tonight, depending upon when you're hearing this program, Kamala Harris will most likely be crowned the queen of the Democrat Party. And the only song that comes to mind is this.
I heard my mom cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a fight it really was. Glory be.
So for now, we're going to leave Chicago behind. And I'm not going to talk anymore today about that convention. Maybe one day next week I'll think it through and share some afterthoughts about all that was witnessed during this very strange week in Chicago. Suffice it to say that no matter what they come up with, no matter what was said, no matter what image or illusion they tried to give the American people, the Democrat Party of 2024 is not the same Democrat Party of 1960 or 1948 or any other time in history. It has become a party that has moved rapidly in a very dangerous and ungodly direction. As I mentioned a moment ago, it seems the most important thing to this party today is homosexuality, transgenderism, and abortion, and earth worship. Any other value is given lip service, and they pretend that they believe it, but they don't. Their own actions and the things that they've done betray them. If it's sin, it is celebrated. It is glorified. And then you have people, and I've said it before, and I'm going to leave it at this, people like Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden that talk about their great Catholic faith, they're good Catholics, they go to Mass or whatever they do, yet they look in the face of God and curse him by their actions and the things that they push for and uphold. The fact that the Pope sitting in Rome does not excommunicate them shows that even the church, the Roman Catholic Church, has got some major issues internally. No, the Democrat Party of today is Luciferian. It is demonic, and it is worshiping neo-pagan ancient gods, which are nothing more than demons. I'm not saying Republicans are saints and the chosen party of God. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of fakes and phonies there. And come the fall, yes, I will be voting. I always do. The Bible says you render unto Caesar that that belongs to Caesar, which means your responsibility to vote for the best candidate we can find and to sit it out and say, oh, they're not good enough for me. Well, then you're going to get the country you deserve because you're too lazy or you're too arrogant. Even Jesus admired, shall we say, some of the worldly people and told us you need to look at some of the cleverness. And maybe we need to be equally as clever sometimes in recognizing that there's a party that lies and is stealing your freedom one by one. I will say this much. It's amazing. Go back to the pandemic. Which governors in particular, there were a couple of Republican governors that were over the top, but they were kind of rhino-ish. It was blue states, Democrats, that were enforcing all these mass mandates, pushing for vaccine mandates, shutting everything down, keeping it shut down, destroying businesses, and now they try to pretend they didn't do it. It's so easy when you're delusional to lie to yourself, and that's what they're doing. They're reinventing the past of 4 years ago, hoping that your memory is too short to recall the actual truth. Like I say, we'll talk about it more next week. And I'll give you my feelings about where I think we are headed. I am very concerned about the election this year. And I'll be as clear as I can. And don't read between the lines on what I'm about to say. Some people do, but listen carefully. Do I consider Donald Trump the savior of mankind? No, Jesus Christ is, but Donald Trump is just a man. But he brings to the table more freedom than we're going to get out of Kamala Harris. I have too many stories that I've been following in recent weeks, and I want to start sharing them today and in tomorrow in particular, that really are demonstrative of where we are. And there's a common thread, politically speaking, here in the United States, and it follows suit in the entire Western world. The parties that lean to the left, the parties that have insulted God, are a danger to your freedom. They love to use the word freedom, like freedom to get an abortion, freedom to get your gender changed. But you don't have freedom to avoid a vaccine or a digital currency or anything else. You have to abide by their rules. They give you freedom only in the things that they want to give you freedom. All the other freedoms they are willing to take. There has been story after story in towns, and they're generally, of course, when you look at where they are in places where the government, shall we say, is predominantly run by Democrats. There's a story out there. A religious liberty law firm filed a federal suit against a Pennsylvania town that allegedly is banning Bible clubs and other religious meetings from being held on a couple's 35-acre property. Let me explain that again. A Pennsylvania town is banning Bible clubs and any other religious meetings from being held on a couple's 35-acre property. We're not talking a school. We're not talking a government building. We are talking somebody's 35-acre private property. The lawsuit by the Independence Law Center is against the Swickley Heights Borough, which is about 15 miles from Pittsburgh. It alleges the town ordered Scott and Terry Federoff to stop holding religious activities on the property as part of a zoning restriction. Now, parties, political rallies, book club meetings, they're not banned at all under the zoning ordinance. Only something that is Christian is being banned. Why? Why? See, the party of Moloch hates having to deal with the true God. The party of Ishtar, the party of all of these demons, they hate Jesus. And so you can have a drunken party. You can hold a political rally, a book club meeting, anything you want to do except something religious. This is, number one, unconstitutional. I mean, I don't care how you cut it. In the United States, this is unconstitutional. This is not equal protection under the law. This is a discrimination. But these delusional, demonically possessed, blinded governments think that they can stop an almighty God. The suit is very clear that the town's position totally violates the United States Constitution, which guarantees religious freedom, free speech, and the freedom to assemble. The lawsuit says that government should not target religious activities for any kind of punishment, particularly when similar secular activities are thoroughly permitted. Once again, we're not talking some government building. We are talking private property. When is this going to end? In America, no government can categorically ban people from assembling to worship on somebody's own property. The lawsuit is clear. It says the property has been used for many decades to host religious activities, such as seminary picnics, seminary board meetings, the Pittsburgh Institute for Youth Ministry, Bible studies, fundraisers for pastors and churches, all kinds of faith-based religious activities. The Federoffs bought the property in 2003, and the person they purchased it from had also been hosting religious activities on the property. The borough issued a notice of violation and to a cease and desist order against the Federoffs late last year. And Swickley Heights is threatening them with fines of $500 per day plus court costs, including the borough's attorney fees for having Bible studies at their home, having meetings where religious songs are being sung, conducting any religious retreats for church leaders or seminary students for prayer, or any kind of camaraderie building and friendship time, and conducting any religious fundraisers. This is the America that the Democrat Party, on display and finishing up tonight, is really pushing for. When you hear the empty phrase, "May God bless America," which God? Moloch? Which God? Ishtar? Which God? Gaia? You know, which demonic God are you asking to bless America? It's certainly not the God of the Bible, because you have insulted the God of the Bible. You have cursed the God of the Bible. You have mocked the God of the Bible by your words, your actions, your deeds, and your policies. I know that some people may differ in opinions on some things out there, but for me, there are some totally non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. Number one, abortion, the type that Tim Walz believes in. Hey, so the baby, the abortion is botched and the baby's born alive. Kill it. Kill it. What kind of a demonic murderer is he? It's like nobody wants to adopt the child. Just kill it. See, this shows a sickness, a mental illness, or demonic possession, or an evil the likes the world does not need to have leashed upon it. Even looking at a lot of the people at that convention, I don't really want to talk about it. I'll wait till next week, but they look like weirdos. There's a look in their eyes. It's almost like demonic. And they sit there and lie to themselves. The economy's better today than it was 4 years ago. And it's getting better every day. And somehow they believe it. And they want you to believe it. And the media wants you to believe it. And they're going to keep screaming the lie until more and more people, well, I guess they believe it. Oh, getting back to Sewickley Heights, Pennsylvania, where you can have 35 acres to have a party on, 35 acres to have anything you want to do on, except anything that has to do with anything faith-based. Sewickley Heights is a borough in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, and it's considered one of the wealthiest areas in the entire state. Used to have a lot of grand homes. And these wealthy people, I guess they like their wealth. They tend to be Democrat there, the wealthy Democrats, and that's why they don't want anything that even relates to Jesus Christ anywhere around them and may make them feel bad. Maybe a Methodist or an Episcopalian, they're okay because they don't talk about that Jesus stuff anymore. We're living in a very sick and sad time. It's a little town of 800 people, and they cannot tolerate. Their government will not tolerate 857 people. One of the wealthiest municipalities in Pennsylvania or even the United States. And they're so wealthy, they don't want God to be talked about on private property. Yeah, you talk about reprobates of the highest order and those that will be given over to mass delusion. When we get back from the break, I've got a couple of stories to talk to you about that kind of make me wonder where we are headed here in the United States and Canada. And of course, it's the same in the United Kingdom and Australia. I've got listeners to this program all over. And I'm really becoming increasingly concerned for Christ's church, for those that are Christians, true Christians. And how do we stay connected? I'm praying that we get a little bit of a respite in the days and weeks ahead, in the months ahead, maybe for a year or two, to get things into place, because I really believe in my heart we're coming into a very, very dark an evil time. The Bible predicts it. The Bible is clear about it. Jesus talks about times of tribulation and the fact that Christians will be persecuted. It's not just one big tribulation, the tribulation. The world goes through many birth pangs and pains. Are you ready? We'll talk about that on the other side.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, we spent some time in the first segment looking at a little bit of politics and kind of the war against Christianity that people claim is not happening. And yet that one story that I shared from Pennsylvania is indicative of what happens in many places, in many regions of the United States, particularly in Democrat-run states and cities. I can remember during the pandemic, Chicago is a good example under the former mayor, Lightfoot. Remember her, Lori Lightfoot? She was wanting to shut the world down in Chicago. I mean, and all of these leftist lunatics thought that shutting everything down forever would get rid of a virus, and it never did. I believe that they really enjoyed their power trip. Lori Lightfoot and so many others, just no exception. She decided that there was a church, or so she thought, that was meeting on Sunday during the pandemic. and she was going to get even with that church. How dare they violate her orders of shutting down? And so Lori Lightfoot ordered the police department to tow all these cars on a street that she believed were parishioners or members of that church attending that church. Well, it turned out the church wasn't open, and they were towing the cars of innocent citizens down to the impound lot. Her rage against an open church was so fierce, she never even bothered to double check if what she thought she knew was even true. And yet, Chicago, like many other places, a lot of things were, shall we say, overlooked, as long as it had the right political connotation. A George Floyd riot, or gathering, or gathering of friends, or whatever you want to call it, that was always fine. But man, it seemed that churches really got under the skin of a lot of people. Now, I don't talk about this much, but in my ministry, for a number of years, I belonged to a small church denomination and conservative, maybe somewhat liturgical, at least at some of the churches that I was pastor of, and I was eventually elevated to a higher level. We use the term bishop. And I was overseeing a small group of churches, and I had one of my clergy call me up early on in the pandemic and said, "I'm opening back up. What do you say?" And I said, "It's your call." And he did. And thankfully, he was never bothered. He was in Florida near Jacksonville. A lot of churches wanted to open up, but a lot of churches were scared. And one of the things that happened, it's both good and bad. Number one, many churches were thoroughly surprised that they could be shut down just like that. Not for a week or two, but a month, 5 months, a year. You know how many, I don't have the number in front of me right now, but it was scary. We know that in the United States, on average, 50-plus churches close each week for good. When the pandemic hit, it accelerated. More churches close each week, and it's sad. Close their doors for good. Now, some of the churches that are apostate churches, that I'm thrilled about that. We don't need apostate, non-Bible-believing, Christ-hating, Christ-mocking churches. We don't need that. They're not even a church. But it tells you something that I've been observing for quite a long time. The spiritual welfare of the United States is in decline. Baby boomers like myself, we were given so much. Let's be honest. I'm born in 1954. Some were born in 1946 that are older than I am. So they're 78, 79 years of age now. And some now entering their 60s. For the most part, we were given so much more than our parents ever had. Many of our parents were children of the Depression, and when the young men came of age, they went on to places like Europe and the South Pacific, but not for a vacation, to fight a war. And they were determined in the late 40s and into the 1950s that their children would never be deprived and do without and have the hardships that they faced. And so these mothers and fathers, many of them worked very hard to provide a good life for their children, that they would not have to deal with the incredible things they had to deal with. But at least for us, at least for me, and for many of my cohorts, we were taken to church, and it was not an option. Going to church was something we did as a family. And we didn't come in our, you know, ripped up blue jeans. We got dressed up. I mean, I had, from a young age, a suit and tie that I wore every Sunday to church. I had a couple of them. And it was expected that I would dress up for church. My mother wore a dress. My father wore a jacket and tie. I was in a choir. I would wear a choir vestment. And going to church was as natural for me as breathing. I didn't get up on a Sunday morning trying to find a way to get out of it. We just did. And you knew not to discuss it, even if you had an inclination. And I'm thankful that I was taken to church. For some of my peers, baby boomer peers, something happened along the way. Maybe it happened in college. Maybe it happened early on, getting all this new freedom when you leave home. And suddenly you get to make choices for yourself. And many of my cohorts, I think, made a terrible choice, a horrible choice, as they decided they were too busy pursuing their wealth, their career, their money, their job. And they rather would play golf on a Sunday morning or something else, maybe handball, whatever it was. There was a lot of that going on. And one by one, most of my high school peers have rejected and walked away from the faith once delivered. They don't go to church. They didn't bring their kids to church, or if they did, they let their kids make a choice like, well, if you want to go, it's up to you. The Bible doesn't say that. It says you raise up and train up a child. But baby boomers, many of them, too many of them, threw it away. I pastor a small church now. And trust me, it can be challenging, even in the Bible Belt, even when you proclaim God's word. It's not easy. A lot of people find it really easy on a Sunday morning because we've been trained to do it between the pandemic and the baby boomers. The idea of going to church on a regular basis is not a part of our culture anymore. People decide, you know, it's more important that I cut my grass today than it is to go worship God. My lawn is more important than God. Or that extra money I can make today is more important than God. That sale I can go to at Walmart or Home Depot. Going to Home Depot on Sunday morning, that's my church. Or going to play golf or something else. If God is not first in your life, he is not even in your life. Let me say that again. If God is not first in your life, God is not in your life. Did you hear me? If he's not first, he's not even there. He doesn't take second or third or fifth place. First only. Otherwise, no deal. We are in a time of increasing spiritual warfare, and we have entire church bodies that have gone thoroughly anti-Christ apostate, so they're a part of the problem, not the solution. They're part of what we're fighting against. An apostate church preaching heresy and blasphemy, it's not of God. I'm starting a series that I'll kind of go back and forth on over the next several weeks on putting on the whole armor of God. I'm doing that at my little church in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. And you'll be hearing occasionally some of the messages or parts of it. A week from this Sunday, I've got one of our people I've asked to preach. He's somebody that I'm trying to raise up to really do more and actually be an associate pastor with me. Because the day is going to come that I'm going to get older. I would like to have a plan for this church, but I'd like to see it grow. It is so hard to grow a church when people can find, as that old song from Olivia Newton-John once said, something else better to do. And that's how they feel. We as Christians, we are not spectators, and that's another issue that I see in many churches today. The congregation or the participants are not really participants, they're spectators. They come to be entertained. They come to be made to feel good about themselves. They come to hear a message to make them even feel better about themselves today and conquer some little earthly problem with a little side of Jesus. I'm deeply concerned. When the music is about you and not about God, when the message is to empower you to have a better life and not about being a servant of the living God, there's something wrong with your church. I'm thinking, and I've talked about this, and I don't mean to offend some of you, but you've got to listen to me. I know people right now that are just don't know what to think. They may have been members, still are, of a United Methodist Church. And they thought that they could somehow stay and all the stuff happening at the top would never affect them. And when they were given the opportunity, I think, what, for a year or two, where they could make the decision to leave for another group, they chose not to, hoping that it would never get this bad. Back in May, it did. And now there's some churches that they'd lose their building to try to leave. They can't. And I know for those people, it's got to be heartbreaking. I know back in the late 70s and in the 1980s, a lot of Episcopalians wanted to leave when they saw the handwriting on the wall of some very dangerous theology. And they would have to leave their building and their money and everything behind. Now, Presbyterian Church USA, they're saying that we're going to ordain homosexual men and women into the ministry, and you have to believe that that's okay, or you cannot be ordained anymore. The church has gone apostate. How do we build an association? I don't want to create a denomination, but I know there are a lot of independent churches out there, people like you and myself. My little church here in Virginia, I call it interdenominational, not non-denominational. Now, granted, I came out of a denomination, but we hold to the things that all Christians have held to since the very beginning of the church, period. If it is biblically sound and it's been practiced in the church, we do it. We avoid certain divisions and arguments because time is short. I don't have a whole lot of time to debate a whole lot of side issues. I'm realizing in my own community where my little church building sits, there are probably some Methodists, there are probably some Episcopalians, probably some Lutherans, probably some Presbyterians that are watching their entire church just disintegrate and begin to become unscriptural and unbiblical. I need to help you, if you're one of them. How do we put together some kind of an association? Now, I know for some of the Methodists will say, hey, they got the Global Methodist Church, but I'm afraid, just like for Anglicans in particular, this is the Anglican Church North America, some of the same issues, the same leaven as the Bible describes it, still exist that destroyed the church to begin with, and it's only a matter of time before these issues resurface again. I don't know what to tell people, but I know, and I've got friends and I've got clergy that look up to me, that I supervise around the country. I would like to help churches all over determine a path for themselves. Or maybe there's a group of people that were attending a church and they realize, well, their church is not leaving. How do we restart? And I'm really praying about that. I'm also looking farther down the road, and it's not that far down the road. Just like I pointed out in that story from a small town in western Pennsylvania, telling a couple they can no longer do any religious activities on their land because the secular zoning says you cannot do that anymore. Yet traditionally it had been done for many, for 30 years. And suddenly now, in this time where evil has literally come across like an ugly fog upon our nation, suddenly being a Christian, suddenly being a person of faith, is an affront. And it must be forbidden. It must be stopped. It must be crushed. It must, because it's a terrible thing. The cancer on our land is the spirit of Antichrist, not Christians. And we as a people are in a fight. You know, a lot of people try to convince you that Jesus is just all about love, love, love. Love everybody, love everything. Everybody, all dogs go to heaven. You know, every sin can be celebrated. After all, Jesus ate with the alcoholics and the sinners and the prostitutes and all of it. No, he didn't go to celebrate with them. He went to proclaim the good news to them to repent and turn away from. When he went to meet the woman at the well, it wasn't to affirm what she was doing. It was to tell her to go and sin no more. We are in spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual battle. And Christians need to learn how to put on the full armor of God. Because see, if the church doesn't learn how to be the church militant on this earth, it's going to be the church destroyed and run over because we're not exercising our faith. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that Christianity is a spectator sport. We can be hated for his name's sake, yet we need to continue to fight the good fight with all our might.
Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your light. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek his face.
To say there's a lot on my heart and my mind as we come to the close of today's program is an absolute understatement. As many of you are hearing this program, I will have completed my fourth of six treatments for bladder cancer. I do immunotherapy treatments every Thursday. Friday's kind of a rough day. Tomorrow's program has already been pre-recorded. But I want to thank you for your continued prayers. God has sustained me through this, and I feel very optimistic. Health-wise, I've been doing a lot better than I anticipated, and I expect to be around for a while. There's so much work yet to be done in Christ's kingdom. I don't put my trust in politicians. Of course, I'm going to vote come the fall. But we as Christians need to decide which is more important, our faith or our politics. Politics should be secondary to your faith. And right now, many governments are trying to suppress that faith, to minimize that faith. It's mocked in the media each and every day. You're told you're weird by people that think that gender is fluid for little children. If you believe in our mission and ministry, would you visit our website, truth2ponder.com? We could certainly use your support. If you can, make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510-510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code is 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie is 24319. That zip code again, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.